shut your big yapper!
You want the truth? You want the truth? You can't handle the truth!
Sweetheart.
We're back. Episode number 5.
Can you believe it?
Larkin and Jay Hizzy.
Get involved. How's everybody doing out there tonight?
Who would have thought we would have made it to episode number 5?
We didn't. No, I'm just kidding.
We knew it all along.
We knew it.
I'll tell you what, Larkin, we were talking beforehand, and I have got my game face on tonight.
You do?
I have got my game face on. Man, we got some good stuff on the show. We got some call-ins that we've gotten. And we are going to have, hopefully, if it works out, a guest caller tonight for the first time.
Well, we're going to have to be fired up, Jay Hizzy, because let me tell you, there ain't a lot going on right now.
There's not a whole lot, but we don't have to worry about covering it all in an hour. We can give you all you need to know about Tennessee sports in an hour.
You know, we have done this for 4 weeks. This will be our 5th week, and we've gotten a lot of downloads. Have we hit 1,000 downloads yet?
For a show?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Not for one show, but...
Total, total. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I think, you know, we may be up around the 1,500 mark, and we really appreciate you guys getting on the, you know, at least downloading and listening to it. And we've gotten some feedback. In fact, been really impressed with the Get Involved thread. People are starting to really post to it, and I think that's people like hearing their name, you know. So we're gonna continue that on and get some call-ins, and so. I'm fired up as well, but I think Hizzy may be a little bit more fired up if he can keep all the little beeps and everything out of the background.
Yes, I am. I'm hoping we didn't miss our call-in right there. It is 9:30, and I think we may have missed it.
Hey, that's okay. Patrick will call back in a little bit. We got one of the posters on the board. Patrick's going to be giving us a call today. All right. So, you know what they say.
You know what they say. See a broad to get that booty act.
It looks like our guest caller's left us a voicemail. Should we see what it says?
Yes, we should.
I'll tell you what. Let's take a quick break, and let's get him lined up on the show. We'll do that in our first segment. You want to do that?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. We'll be right back with our live call-in.
Hell of a first segment.
That's great.
Gay.
Larkin, I think that's your favorite little sound bite there.
I love Homer. He's awesome.
You are a Homer.
All right, we're back.
We're back with you guys. Sorry about the little technical outage there, but I think Larkin's going to get right into our quick hits, and we're going to bring a guest board caller on board here in a second.
Well, obviously, this week being a little weak on topics, but you know, there's no bowl games to talk about. We don't have really a whole lot of football information.
We got Lady Vol soccer.
Sweet.
Did you go down to the soccer field to see the team off the other day?
In fact, I did. I had roses. Lady Vol soccer. Shut up, Patrick.
I heard, man. Don't let Larkin fool you guys. He was calling me. He wanted me to go down there with him on Monday, and I was too busy, so I couldn't go. But don't let him fool you like he's not a big Lady Vol wanker.
Yeah, well, let me tell you. After we sent everybody off, we had a big feminist activism rally.
Right, we'll get some emails about that one.
All right. Well, first of all, one of the things that I want to talk about just as a quick hit. And by the way, somebody just called in. We have now Patrick from the board is with us. Patrick, how you doing?
Pretty good. How you doing, Brown Nation?
And we're doing good. And
you have to bear with us. Our sound quality is not perfected yet, but you get the point.
That's right, and Patrick's going to be along with us for the quick hit section, and one of the first things that we're going to talk about is last week we were going through the schedule and what the wins were going to be, and if anybody caught the last show, my math was a little off, so let me just kind of set the record straight. 16-13 is where I had the team going, and that was losing basically the two swing games, which I think are like Oklahoma State and one of those SEC games, and that puts us at 16-13. And by all rights, you got to expect that to be a pretty decent season for Buzz. You know, with what Buzz left this program, not just the players, but in the shape that this program has been in, I think 16 wins is good.
That is good. There's no question. I mean, we said all along, you know, over 500 NIT berth.
Okay, now I'm going to get Patrick involved here. Hizzy, how many games did you go to last year, being the very end of the Peterson tenure with Tennessee basketball?
You know, I can't remember. We disagreed about that. I think I went to a handful, but it wasn't many.
No, you didn't go to a handful. You went to maybe two. I went to zero. Patrick, how many did you go to last year?
I think I went to about half the home games, but had season tickets, so...
Okay.
Yeah, I have season tickets too, I guess. Let them go to waste. It was hard to watch last year. That is the biggest difference this year. I haven't missed a game this year, including exhibitions.
Now, we're going to talk a little bit about this later on once we get into the Sagarin ratings, but the SEC this year is down. In fact, why don't we just go ahead and bump into that? Last week, we're at 55. This week, we actually moved down a little bit, obviously because our schedule, our strength of schedule is at 318.
Mm-hmm.
But that's getting ready to change.
That is getting ready to change in a big way.
Well, it is. You got Oklahoma State on the road, but then again, Oklahoma State's not all to write home about either.
You know what's comical? Did y'all read the article? There was an article in the News Sentinel this week, and they were quoting Coach Pearl as calling our schedule moderately tough.
Moderately tough.
Which I don't think when you're ranked 318, how that can be considered moderately tough.
It's not.
I like Bruce Pearl, but I have to call him out on that one. I think that's a little over the top. Patrick, before we get into Sagarin ratings, what's your you've probably been to a lot of the games this year. What's your impression and thoughts on the team?
Yeah.
I think they just play so much harder. You know, they're throwing themselves on the floor. Dane Bradshaw has just been an incredible boost to the team. I mean, he's banging it inside in the paint, and he's 6'3".
And who would have thought that? You know, I think Buzz has took a lot of heat for bringing him in here, and he's turned out to be one of our best players.
Yeah, no kidding.
I think he's better than that local kid who went to Florida?
Yeah, the kid from Maryville.
No. He's a sharpshooter. In fact, he's one of their top scorers down there in Florida.
Can't think of it.
I think Dane Bradshaw is doing more for Tennessee this year than possibly that.
I'll look that up. You guys talk amongst yourselves.
I think you're right, Patrick. I think he's, asking a guy to do what he's done and his hustle. I think he may be one of the emotional leaders on that team with his effort.
Well, and they're playing defense. You know, C.J. Watson and Chris Laughlin are coming up big game in and game out. Now, I think the Tennessee may run into a problem if Watson or Laughlin go cold for a game. I think Laughlin's a streaky shooter. And they're putting their best cover man on Laughlin, and it's hard for him to get shots. But we'll see.
Yeah, we will see. There's an interesting thread on Vol Nation about people talking about Watson and Laughlin being one of the top guard tandems, you know, in the SEC, if not in the nation. And I know that was a heated topic this week. So it will see. The thing I like about what Lofton's doing this year in Pearl's system is he's not having to create his own shots as much. You know, he's getting his shots in the flow of the offense.
Lee Humphrey, that's the man.
Lee Humphrey currently is at 11.4 points per game, 1.8 rebounds, and 2.7 assists per game.
And what's Bradshaw averaging, like 10 rebounds?
No, I think he was at 7.8.
Was he?
Maybe.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
So, I mean, somewhere around there. I know, we've got several guys that are averaging double figures. But, you know, one of the things that Pearl said when he came in was he needed to get the guys in shape. He didn't realize how bad these guys are in shape. And at the UAB game that we went to, that little scrimmage when Jameer Hendricks' ass was hanging out the whole time, it was obvious that those guys were cut. In fact, I was impressed with Bradshaw. I mean, he looked like he had muscles, you know.
Yeah, Larkin, I think you were looking for a date out there or something.
What are you talking about?
You're kind of making me a little bit uncomfortable staring at those guys' muscles and drooling like that. I was, you know, I went and sat on the other side of the gym. I had to move to the other side of the gym.
You have a man crush on Dane Bradshaw?
Yeah, Larkin was getting a little sweaty, and it wasn't hot in there.
Listen, you guys were the ones that are fawning over him. What are you talking about? Anyway. Okay, let's go back to the Sagarin ratings. You have Tennessee coming in at 57. Last week they were at 55. We are behind only in the SEC, Florida and Vandy, in the Sagarin ratings right now. Every other SEC team, including Kentucky, is behind us right now.
Well, in the Sportsline RPI, we're 85, right behind St. Peter's.
Who's St. Peter's?
I don't know. I thought maybe after your last comment, I thought maybe you knew. I think that they've got our strength of schedule at 300 too. So it's early, you know. I mean, we can look at these rankings because we got nothing else to talk about, but it's just so early to be bringing this stuff up. But
well, I think you said Northern Illinois was number two in that RPI, so that obviously just blows that one out of the water.
Yeah, I'm not sure how Sportsline RPI is compiled, but they had, I think, trying to pull it back up here. They had Duke number one. This may be obviously. Yeah, Duke is number one, Northern Illinois two, Memphis three, Florida four, Illinois five. So,
okay, well, the purpose of me bringing up the Sagarin ratings was because I just wanted to point out there was only two other teams that were better than us in the Sagarin ratings, and if you know, you can probably go back there and see that the RPI, there's probably a couple other teams. But the fact is that the SEC is down to this point. I'm not saying that they are going to be for the entire season, but, right now Tennessee has the second-best record at 5-0. In the SEC, only behind Florida. Kentucky, obviously this is just non-conference, but they're 6-3 right now. They've lost to a couple of teams.
They have, and Kentucky struggled before the beginning of the
season.
Alabama. So I wouldn't write too much into that.
Patrick, I don't know if you're watching any of the games, but I watched that Alabama game the other day where, they ended up losing, to a couple of, weak sisters, at Temple. I mean, Temple.
Yeah, but Temple's a good program, but they're playing these big games, against teams you've heard of on the road in these type of games. I mean, they're getting some good basketball experience. We're at home playing directional school still, so we'll see.
No. I don't agree. Because the only teams they've beaten are Miami of Ohio, Alabama State, Louisiana Tech, Winthrop. That's it.
What, they've played?
Didn't Alabama just play Notre Dame?
Yeah, and they lost that game 78-71.
Yeah, and I think that the way that Notre Dame played, I think that the score was not indicative of how Notre Dame controlled that game.
You mean it was junk ball at the end?
Junk ball at the end.
Junk ball.
Junk ball. Yeah.
In other words, they allowed them to get back in the game and only be down by seven at the end of the game.
Exactly.
Okay,
Patrick, what do you think about our schedule so far?
I agree that I think Bruce is talking up the schedule some, but these directional schools, they're slated to maybe finish first or second in their conferences. But I think, though, Tennessee needs this. I think that the team as a whole needs to be able to blow some teams out, get some confidence. I mean, frankly, last year, we may have lost a couple of these games.
There's no doubt.
Going down by 12 points to, I guess, was it Appalachian State?
Yeah, we're going to talk about that game a little bit later, but you have to admit, Appalachian State played the absolute best game they'll play all year. They were shooting lights out. They shot, there was one guy with a hand in his face, shot a three-pointer from 4 feet behind the line, and it didn't hit anything but net.
And I agree with you, Patrick, that I just don't like the fact that we're pretending it's something it's not. I don't disagree that we needed this, and this team probably needed to get some confidence and needed to play some teams that we could beat and, kind of establish ourselves before we were getting thrown into the fire. But let's not pretend it's something it's not.
And I'm not. Go ahead, Pat.
But our Tennessee fans are so pretending that this team is something that it's not.
They are. That's what kills me. They're talking about.
I don't think so. I'm just excited about the program. I'm excited about Bruce Pearl, what he brings to the table. I'm excited to see a good brand of fundamental basketball, good defense, good offense, good passing. And I think that's what I see. I see the Tennessee fans getting behind and being able to get behind someone who they see as a good coach.
They probably had more attendance the first few games here at Thompson Bowling Arena than they did last year.
They probably have, and I'm with you. I'm excited about the style of play and the effort, and I'm excited about this basketball team and the direction it's going, but I'm hearing these people calling on radio shows and these articles and things talking about NCAA birth. I just think that's way premature right now.
Wait till the end of this season when we have a five-game losing streak in the SEC, and it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
I mean, there's people out there, I don't think they think we're going to lose a game or something.
We're kind of veering away from quick hit. Let's go to the next one.
Okay.
Watson's named SEC Player of the Week last week. Season high, 23 points for him. Obviously, Lofton is a catalyst for this team with his dead eye shot from the 3-point range. But you said last week, so goes Watson, so goes this team.
You know, it's funny because Buzz Peterson never could get C.J. Watson to be a leader on this team. And while C.J. Watson is still not a guy who's going to get out there and yell at players and get in people's face, he still is, at this point, the emotional leader on this team. When he starts getting it going, the team follows him. You know, you can argue that Chris Lofton and his hot shooting is what helped this team in places. But Watson really is, I think, a leader on the floor. And I think the two biggest things in his game this year are, number one, his conditioning. His endurance is better, and I think he's stronger.
I think, well, it's obvious. If you look
How did he look? Was he cut?
He's cut. He is hot. You guys need to get off of me on that, all right? Listen, shooting 55.8% from the field and 61.9% from three-point range. He's not just shooting better. He's taking smarter shots. In fact, Pearl made that comment last week saying he's making smarter shots. And I think Pearl's system really allows him to take those smarter shots because the spacing on the floor is such that he can make those good decisions. Where last year, you'd throw it to the perimeter and somebody just jack up a shot. You know, I'm impressed with it.
Patrick, do you like Watson? Who do you think's the catalyst on the team right now?
I have to agree. I think that Watson is a catalyst. I think that that, like we said before, that Dane does bring an element of toughness and hard-nosed play. But CJ, and I heard Bruce Pearl after the game last week comment that he's averaging less minutes per game. He's fresher in the last 3 to 4 minutes of the game. So I think that with just, I think it's maybe 2 or 3 minutes difference on average, but he's in better shape also, and he's got better legs under him.
How do you like Bruce Pearl giving him some rest, putting in Eddie DeBrow in the first half of that one game?
Well, for 2 minutes. I mean,
still!
It wasn't like it was a huge...
I'm just saying, that's, you know, he put in a walk-on.
All right, next quick hit. Coach Cut, he's on board. He made a comment last week that Cut promises that Ainge is a pro in hiding.
Was that a true article? Was that a parody?
No. No, that's those were quotes from.
Did you see the article?
The Baltimore Sun.
Was it?
Yep. And in fact,
I think that was a parody. Did you read the whole thing?
No, I'm not going to take the credit for that. Wilburn Vall on the message board brought that point up. He was the guy that did the crackpot reporting there. But basically, he says he just needs better mechanics, squaring up his shoulders. And he says almost all of his interceptions were a result of either poor mechanics or receivers out of route. In fact, he says a perfect example is the LSU interception. Eric should have had someone open there, but Meacham broke off the route. And Robert knew damn well that he was supposed to retreat 5 yards in the end zone and take that Randy Sanders modified Utah pass.
Are you going to read us the whole article? Or?
Yeah. Would you guys like me to keep going?
Dude, I can read the paper.
I want to see that true article. Well, I have questions myself with that article.
Yeah, I never saw the actual whole article on that. So, Larkin, you may have to bring that one up to convince us.
Okay, well.
The Tennessean scoops the Knoxville news media, but I don't believe the Baltimore Sun is going to scoop.
I don't either.
On Kirk with an Ainge being a pro in hiding.
I'm with you, Patrick.
Anyway. All right, let's go to the next one.
I think we got Larkin flustered over here.
We'll debunk that later on. Piss off. Anyway, all right. Patrick, we've got one last section on the quick hits. I thought we should hit the get involved thread for the show number 5, Crazy Tailgate Stories. We've got a few coming up. And do we want to take a break before we get into that?
Sure.
Okay, why don't we take a break, and we will hit the Get Involved thread, and we'll be back in just a little bit.
With more Patrick for your listening pleasure. Guys, we are back. Get Involved, Larkin and Jay Hizzy with special guest host Patrick on board with us. We all three got our game faces on tonight.
Well, anytime, sweetheart.
What do you say? This is Larkin.
I wanted to bring up, you know, a crazy thing that we've been talking about on the board this week is the idiotic Vol fan who's selling his fan loyalty on eBay. I mean, you know, you truly can sell anything on eBay, I guess, but I don't know if you guys saw that or not, but
did you actually go to the eBay site? And
I
see
didn't.
What
I wonder. I wonder what it closed for.
I tried going on there, and the number never pulled up. It said it was invalid.
They might have pulled it, but I even heard that from somebody locally that the news was doing a story on him, that Rick Russo was going to do a live thing on the news about this guy or something.
Yeah, Rick Russo. He's an excellent sports reporter.
He's really hurting for stories this time of year. Hey, if we can fill up an hour radio broadcast, Rick Russo can't fill up a 5-minute sports segment without bringing some idiotic eBay seller on there?
Guess not.
I don't know. It's probably some Bama fan in disguise anyway.
Of course.
I don't know. Anyway, back to the show. We're going to talk about the...
Get Involved Thread?
Get Involved Thread that Larkin started about crazy tailgate stories. And well, actually, we can start off... No, we can't do that. Never mind.
Yeah, I've got a real good one. It's actually from a basketball game. Me and Jay Hizzy happened to be going to one of the basketball games. In fact, I think it was Kentucky a couple of years ago.
It was in January.
It was
freezing
January,
cold outside.
It was freezing cold. And we had been drinking a few Diet Cokes. In fact, just maybe too many Diet Cokes.
At least
the
case or so.
You know you're
in bad shape when you're tailgating for a basketball game.
That's right, especially when it was, in the Buzz Peterson era. Anyway, so, as a result of those Diet Cokes, everybody has to go to the bathroom. Well, Jay Hizzy has this great idea to, relieve himself behind his truck.
Well, if you're going to tell this story to this national audience, I'm going to at least have to give you my side. Everybody.
A national audience?
We've gone national.
Oh, that's right.
Everyone, we're in this garage. There's nowhere to piss. And everybody else was pissing, behind the car door over the tire of the truck that we were in.
Right.
So I was just doing the same thing.
Right. And as Jay Hizzy is doing his business.
Well, see, you added two more things in here. First of all, I have a bigger bladder, so it was much later in the day before I had to pee, and traffic was getting bad. Every time I went over there to try to take a whiz, there would be a car drive by or some woman and her daughter would be walking by or whatever. So as I'm taking a whiz, I'm looking over my shoulders both ways to make sure nobody's coming.
Right.
So I finally do that. I'm taking my whiz. I look around. There's nobody coming. I get done. Everything's going fine. I go to zip up. I look down. And I apparently had peed on the front of the tire because it had all splattered back onto my jeans.
Not only has it splattered on both sides of his jeans, I mean, it was two huge wet spots. And I guess, and let me tell you guys, it was cold. So
I pissed all over myself at a basketball game.
So here's what we do. We get out. Of course, obviously, we're making just great fun of Jay Hizzy at the time.
And there was a line. I think it was after 9-1-1 or something.
Huge line. And so as we're there... And it's cold. I mean, the wind is just blowing. If anybody's gone into Thompson Bowling Arena, those where you stand in line on the ramps into Thompson Bowling Arena, the wind just howls through there. He has taken off his sweatshirt, and all he's wearing is a T-shirt. And he has turned, some people tie the, Patrick, how some people tie, their sweatshirt around their waist, and, the main part of the waist goes, shirt goes over your butt. Well, he had turned it around so that it was covering up his pee spots.
I think I saw pictures of that, actually.
Everybody was laughing so hard, and we're standing in line. These two ladies are standing behind us in line, and they're all laughing and going, "You won't believe what this guy did." And she goes, "From the looks of it's 20 degrees outside, and he's wearing no shirt. I can probably figure it out." Considering you've got a sweatshirt, you've got it around your waist, I can probably figure it out. So, thanks for bringing that up, by the way, Larkin.
You're very welcome.
Not ashamed to say that Jay Hizzy peed all over himself, and now everybody knows it.
Now, I don't know if this is obviously there's no way to confirm this. Volunteer Hillbilly says that he saw David Keith get in a fight outside the Georgia Theater in Athens after the game in 2000.
Is that the same guy that posted the Baltimore Sun article that you were ranting about a minute ago?
I don't think so. Are you going to bust my balls the whole time?
I think so.
Goodness gracious. U.S. Air Force.
I was saying if it was the same guy or not.
U.S. Air Force Vol, I was figuring this guy would be some kind of a muscle-bound fella. He posted a picture of himself getting accosted by a Florida fan. He's small. Is he? I don't know if he's. I don't know what he does for the Air Force, but
does he not meet your standards?
No, I mean I was just surprised. I thought he'd be a little bit bigger than that. Anyway, he was talking.
That kid was getting choked out.
Yeah, he was getting choked out. He would say it was a 2003 UF game, and a Gator, spelled Gaytor, was in earshot of his ramblings after the Hail Mary touchdown, and so he said Don't point and laugh at any angry Gator fan that is bigger than you, especially after a Hail Mary pass.
Appreciate you contributing in there, USAF ball.
Yes,
you can ignore Larkin. He's just trying to get back at somebody tonight.
Let's see.
Patrick, you got a story for us, don't you?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got a story, but I think I'm changing it.
Okay.
This one goes back.
This has not been screened by our screening staff yet.
Great.
But this is actually a better story.
Okay.
And it's actually quicker. The Florida-Tennessee game down in Florida probably 10 years ago, back when I was still in school. A friend of mine was up Florida game. Tennessee, I think, had won the game. And the infamous, what is it, the Purple Porpoise?
Yeah. Yeah.
They were having a few Diet Cokes, and a ruckus started, and a friend of mine was thrown through the front window of the Purple Porpoise and ended up in jail with cuts and lacerations after he was taken to the hospital.
Jeez.
Nice.
That's beautiful.
Gotta love it.
Let's see.
Hey, no better place to be thrown out of a window.
Lex Ball was talking about the 03 Georgia game, and there was a Georgia lady that was needing to use the facilities by their truck. So interesting how many of these stories evolve into where can we find a place to use the bathroom story. But anyway, she was dropping trowel behind some trees on the hill, and they had obviously trying to avoid being seen by the group that Lex Ball was in. And as she was moving further down the hill, she was becoming more in full view of the traffic below. Of course, I think they said they kept encouraging her to move a little further down because they could see her drunk butt. But there's a couple of stories. Of course, I did want to bring one up that happened to be this year, which was kind of a weird story. We happened to leave a little bit earlier from the Georgia game, heading back at halftime, and we got tracked down by this gal. What's that building over there? I guess it's the administration building.
Probably.
Behind Circle Park. And she said that some guy was bothering her. And so this spaced-out guy was guarding a TV for his buddies, and it wasn't even his buddy's TV. Anyway, I ended up jogging all the way back to the stadium, picking up about 10 cops on motorcycles, and they drug down there. And of course, when the cops got there, he ended up pulling a knife out on the cops, and you know, the rest of the story, I'm sure, him being drug off to jail. Anyway,
what happened? I fell asleep. What were you saying? Something? I'm just kidding. Orange TD had a good one. He was talking about hanging out at O'Charlie's before a Bama game. We know, if anybody who hangs on the board knows how Orange TD loves Bama fans, but he said both Bama fans and Tennessee fans had requested them to play Sweet Home Alabama, and of course he said he had had a few too many beers and was getting up in the face of Bama fans saying F.U. Alabama and singing back and forth. So sounds like fun times.
Fun times.
Fun That's times great. Indeed. Got to love tailgate There's stories.
A point of information that some Tennessee fans may want to know, and I just found this out last week. The O'Charlie's on the strip is closed.
Really?
Yes, it is.
I wonder what's going to happen next year for the pregame festivities.
Someone will pick them up. I mean, that place can't be vacant for a long time. But you know, there is a that's a pretty good point that you bring up. In fact, I was over at Hound Dogs not too long ago, and I was talking to one of the guys that works there and asking about business, and he said, "Man, it's slow. You know, people don't realize the economic impact that Tennessee football has on this area, and when they're not doing well, the whole area is not doing well." So that's definitely interesting. Well, guys,
purchased a Tennessee T-shirt for about $9.99, marked down from $22.
That's right.
Get some good deals out there.
Wheeling
right now.
Wheeling and dealing. Well, that's all we're going to do with the Get Involved Thread of the Week. We're going to we'll put up another one. Hopefully, get some more of you guys in it. Patrick, we want to say thanks to you for being a part of the show today. And
last minute, no less.
That's right.
We called him right before the show started and got him to come on, so we appreciate that.
Yes, we did, and we really appreciate it. We'll get you back on, and thanks again.
Well, I appreciate it, guys.
All right,
Patrick. Talk to you later.
Go Balls.
See you.
All right, guys, we're going to take a break here, and we will
be back with some. We got some voicemails still to go through.
Yes,
that are quite.
We
some are quite entertaining, actually.
We got a little bit of football stuff to talk about. We got some basketball coming up. We'll talk about a little bit about the Texas game, and then
yeah, we've got a young caller who had some opinions on the Texas game, so we'll get to that.
Yes, we do. All right, we'll see you in a little bit. It's Larkin and Jay Hizzy. Get involved. We are back. Larkin and Jay Hizzy, get involved. Thanks, Patrick, for being a part of the show today.
Yeah, that was fun. May do that again next week. We'll get you guys' feedback on if we should have Patrick back on. I think we're going to have him back next week.
You guys's? Is that a word?
We'll give him a little bit more time to prepare this time and see if he can bring some content for us.
Yes, we will. Well, you know, obviously there's not a whole lot to talk about football, but I did want to go back and see some of the postseason honors. We had the Associated Press All-SEC team came out. Aaron Sears was first team All-SEC. Hopefully that doesn't go to his head and decides to go to the NFL. But anyway, you had him as the first team choice. You had also had Jason Hall, Paris Harrelson, Justin Harrell, and Kevin Simon as second team. And what I wanted to do was contrast that with what was picked at the very beginning of the season with the preseason SEC coaches, all-SEC team. And going back and looking at, you know, what was picked, we talked a lot about the offense and how poor the offense was. But you know what? We also had a lot of guys on the defense that were, you know, that were supposed to really do a whole lot. Even though, I mean, you can say that here are the four. We had the second and third teams, Cody Douglas and Rob Smith. Second team defense, Paris Harrelson, Kevin Simon, and Omar Gaither. I guess Gaither had a pretty good year, you know. I mean, you know, he had, you know, the guy was a pretty good. I don't think he had as good of a year this year as he did last year.
Well, it's hard to say. A lot of that's based off expectations. Last year, you know, he kind of emerged and stepped out of nowhere. This year, there are a lot of expectations on him. You tend to view players that way when there's higher expectations for you. So,
Gerald Riggs Jr. He was picked to the. He was picked to the first team, as well as Jesse Mahalona and Jason Allen. Of course, you know, Mahalona, he got all the double teams, so I think he opened the door for Harrell and Hall to have good seasons. And then, of course, Jason Allen getting hurt. So, you know, we really didn't have that many picked.
Yeah, Jason Hall's the guy that you got to look at that probably outperformed expectations.
Yeah, but once again, I think because of the focus on Mahalona, though, And even Paris Harrelson, if you think about it, I mean, he was a force coming off the end, really opened the door, like I said, for Hall.
I think he worked on the personal foul penalties this year, though.
Yeah, he had a few. Yeah, going back to the discipline. So I thought that was pretty interesting. You know, obviously, congratulations to Sears being on first team, Hall, Harrelson, Harrell, and Simon being second team, and that was it. You know. No other offensive guys. Of course, you know, a lot of people thought that other than Cutler, that Ainge would have been one of the top guys coming back, and obviously that didn't pan out. But, you know, then, of course, you have Cutcliffe, you know, comparing him to what was the famous Baltimore Colts quarterback, going back to the Baltimore Sun. I had to point that out. Johnny Unitas. Anyway. So, you know, there's a little bit of football action. Of course, we do have some recruiting going on. That's obviously will be heating up. Big stories out there are the quarterbacks coming in, Tebow and Mustaine. A lot of
Tebow.
Did I say Tebow or Tebow? Did I say Tebow? Whatever,
right.
Tebow.
Yeah, and with Portis leaving Florida, that's interesting.
Yeah, you know. I think Portis is very similar to Schaefer in the sense that these guys have a very inflated opinion of themselves. Portis is a very interesting story because you know, what did he or his mom, I mean, his mom was the one that was quoted more than he was in the news lately. What did he think Meyer was going to do? Pull Chris Leak and let Portis play, you know, half the snaps? I mean, same thing with Schaefer. You know, Schaefer was a decent scrambler. He was more of an athlete. I think he was given the shot. But, you know, the thing is that, you know, he just couldn't stay on the straight and narrow.
Speaking of Schaefer, it's looking more and more like that Florida thing might actually happen.
With Portis leaving, absolutely. I think that opens the door for him. In fact, we said on the show a couple of weeks ago that was something that probably wouldn't happen because Portis was there.
You got to wonder. I mean, it's bad enough losing to Urban Meyer. Is there anything worse than losing to Urban Meyer with Brent Schaefer as quarterback?
Oh, that would be the absolute worst.
That would be. I can't even – that would be terrible.
Well, but then again, I don't think the guy is going to be a Division I-A quarterback. You have to be able to look past your first receiver rather than just tuck and run, and I don't think that's gonna work, especially in Meyer's offense, because that is a multiple offense. You have to be able to scan the field before you run that offense, and so you know, I'm not worried about that.
Well, we'll see. You know, and the whole Mustang thing is interesting.
That's
too.
That's a circus right there.
I mean, you know, his mom's obviously saying that, you know, with that Cutcliffe coming back to Tennessee is influencing his decision, but you're not really getting much from Mitch Mustang. All these quotes are coming from his mom, so I don't know.
When is everybody going to quit thinking that Houston Nutt is God's gift to coaches? I mean, he has done absolutely nothing at Arkansas. You know, I mean, he goes and he hires Mustang's quarterback. Well, actually, I guess the head coach for his high school, and brings him on as an offensive coach.
Yeah, they're really selling out to try to get this guy. I mean, you got to think about it. They've got
that is a sellout.
It is. They've got two. You know, they've got two pretty good backs over there. They've got the ground game. You know, their offense, all they're missing is a good quarterback. So they're selling out trying to get this kid in there. And
if he doesn't go, that'll be the worst. If we get him, it'll top.
You know, us getting who was the receiver that we took out of there?
It wasn't Meacham.
No, it was Oklahoma. Was it Swain Smith? Brett Smith.
Brett Smith, that's who it was. Yeah, that sure was.
So anyway, he was the
Brett Smith
out
of Arkansas. Yeah,
but if we get Mustang away from them, with them doing what they're doing to try to get this kid, I mean, they're mortgaging their future trying to get him. And if we steal him, if Cutcliffe can help do that, that'd be huge.
Well, first of all, you've got Cutcliffe, you know, and he has a pretty good reputation for developing quarterbacks. I mean, he's had some guys. We talked about that last week. But, you know, Phil Fulmer, say what you want about the guy, didn't have a good season this year. He's dadgummit this and that. The fact of the matter is, the guy knows how to recruit, so I think it leaves the door open.
Mustang, 3,800 yards and 47 touchdowns this season.
47. I mean, I wonder is he playing against poor competition or is he just that good?
Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting. Speaking of recruiting, we had pulled up some of the rankings here. I did, and you know, not pretty so far. We're
no, it's not.
You know, 27th. According to Rivals.
That's what a 5-6 season will do to you, right?
Yeah, and it's still early.
Okay, I wanted to go back to the Mustang and Tebow. Is it that big of a deal, Hizzy, for us to get one of those top-flight quarterbacks this year? I mean, we've got Ainge is going to be a junior next year. We've got, you know, an unknown quarterback in guy out of North Carolina.
Crompton.
So... Do we need to sign the top flight guy this year?
Well, yeah, probably. Okay. Just from the fact of you've got two unknowns. You've got Eric Ainge, who, you know, has shown flashes of doing good and obviously fell apart this past season. And you've got Crompton, who's unproven. So, you know, at best, you've got two quarterbacks, one quarterback, one backup. If even one doesn't work out, you've got no backup.
Well, that's a good point.
And we've had two quarterbacks getting injured in the same season. You know, so yeah, I think we need to get somebody else in here to, you know, ideally you'd like to have, you know, some upperclassmen, some lowerclassmen, but.
Well, the only 5-star commitment they have right now is Walter Fisher. He's got of Coffeyville, Kansas. Of course, he's a JUCO guy.
Yeah, he's a guy that we actually signed before, and now he's, you know, recommitted to come play for us.
Yeah, that's good. A lot of Tennessee guys on the commit list. You got a couple of 2-star guys in there. You know, we've got some 4-star guys there on the offensive line. Goggins, I think, is a kid that, you know, out of Alabama, supposedly, you know, pretty good pickup. You know, obviously,
well, another one that's key that a lot of people have been asking about to Brandon Warren.
He's the guy from last year, right?
Brandon Warren is the guy at Alcoa, the defensive I think he plays defensive tackle. Defensive end, rather, and some tight end, too. You know, top player, and he's committed to Florida State. And so that's a tough one. You know, I guess he's been a Florida State fan. He's committed verbally. I know Fulmer and the guys are still trying to recruit him, and he's a guy, you know, probably lives 5 minutes from Fulmer's house, and it sure would be nice to figure out a way to get him in here.
Yeah, Volunteer Hillbilly actually brought up a thread on the board about in-state prospects. Why can't we get these guys? Is it because of a lack of focus, or do we feel, or does Phil Fulmer feel, as a head coach and the number one recruiting guy over there, does he just feel that the caliber of player coming out of the state of Tennessee is just not up to the level everywhere else?
I think it's been that in the past. I think you've not seen the caliber of player coming out of Tennessee, especially East Tennessee. You know, you've had the Memphis connection with the whole Bama thing going on, so it's been harder for us to recruit West Tennessee. But, you know, we get more and more talent. I think I think it's a trend that needs to change, especially if we continue to produce top talent. But, you know, Brandon Warren's a guy that I think we need to get on the team.
Yeah, the other thing is that the local media here, the Knoxville News Senseless, they are just, you know, when we lose that in-state prospect, you know, they just bash this program, you know, because of that. And, you know, I mean, maybe rightly so, but, you know, they've had good recruiting classes in the past. Last year, you know, obviously we didn't get Turner, who left and went out to Southern Cal. But, you know, we've had very, very good success, even going all the way out to Hawaii. That's the other thing about it. I saw an article about JT Mapu and his dad saying that he's ready to come back. Mm-hmm. I think that's... That would be great to have him as an addition to the defensive line.
It will. And you think the defense will be okay. I mean, the question is with the offense. And that's got to be why you lose a Patrick Turner. I mean, he didn't want to come play for a Randy Sanders. I mean, look what he would have been playing with. You know, I mean, receivers who have come here have died for whatever reason. So I don't know. It's instead of wide receiver U, we're going to start being known as wide receiver burial ground or something. I mean, you know, you go to Tennessee, you're never heard from again.
That's right. Well, anything else on recruiting that you managed to dig up?
No, and obviously we don't have a whole lot of preparation on recruiting stuff. We'll get more into that as it gets nearer and nearer. I know that, into January especially, that'll start picking up. We'll have a little bit more information for you guys.
Yeah, we're going to try to, over the next few weeks, as this really starts to heat up, we'd like to recruit a couple of you guys out there that are listening to the show, that post on a regular basis, to give us some input. Go out there if you're a recruiting guru, and which... You know, obviously over the last few years, that has become a huge following. You know, I mean, you think about 10, 15 years ago, because of multimedia and being able to see the videos and being able to have sources to get that information, we never really had it. But there is so much out there. We really appreciate any of you guys that are recruiting gurus out there to do some research for you. We'll certainly give you props in the show, maybe invite you to call in like we had Patrick today to give us your insight on some of those signings. And we'd appreciate some guys doing that.
Absolutely. There's a lot of good posters on Vol Nation that follow recruiting closely. And hopefully, if I have my way and the show continues to progress and we can get the technology done, I'm willing to go in and do a National Signing Day show streaming live.
Streaming live,
Streaming live, National Signing Day, all day.
Wow.
At least for a few hours, you know, late morning, or we'll do something.
Yeah, I'd like to do that.
So, you know, we might have to do something on signing day to as the recruits come in, especially in the morning. You know, that's when they really start pouring in. Hopefully you got a few left over till the afternoon. But
kind of a last gasp on football. Do we have a full complement of coaches now?
No.
Okay,
I think we're still missing the one.
Yeah, we're still missing the wide receivers coach. So whoever, you know, take Pat Washington's place. And he got a job.
Kansas State.
Yeah, okay.
So yeah, still waiting to see where Dandy Randy and Jimmy Ray are going to end up. But
somewhere in the NFL, I'm sure.
Somewhere.
Well, that's all we have about football. You want to move on into the basketball, and we want to talk a little bit about the Appalachian State game. And I realize, guys, that was a while back. You know, it seems like we haven't played a basketball game in forever. But that was probably...
Let's start off the basketball segment with our young caller that we got.
Yeah, why don't we do that? In fact, I tell you, before we get into the basketball, why don't we finish out this segment with some of the voicemails that we've been getting, and then we'll go in and move forward into the basketball, talking about basketball and what's coming up.
We can do that. We can do that.
All right.
Here is voicemail number one.
All right.
Here's this is Patrick.
Whoops, wrong one. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, we're not going to overload
technical difficulty.
You guys.
All right, here we go.
Hey, guys, this is Jason Olson. I'm a old friend of Larkin there. Hey, I enjoy your show. Enjoy y'all putting it up on the board. Just wanted to say I've been real involved in football, just wrapping that up with the college season and the pros. And this weekend's going to be the first game that I get to see with Pearl taking the guys to Texas. Just wanted y'all's, you know, input on, you know, what us new fans to the ball game should be looking for. You know, what can we expect? And I'll just hang up and listen as I say on the radio. Thanks, guys. Appreciate you. Bye.
Good call. Thanks for the call.
Yeah. Well, what can they be looking for? I think Patrick hit it on earlier today.
I was thinking the same thing.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you're going to see an intensity you haven't seen for the past 4 years. You're going to see good defense. You're going to see Lofton and Watson and Bradshaw. They're going to have a lot of steals, limited turnovers. They're going to take advantage of every opportunity they get to press. And that's something that you just haven't seen.
See a 6'4" guy playing inside.
You know what I think is so fun is to watch that press. And at the very beginning, when we started the show, and I talked with you about this at the beginning of the season about how effective that press was going to be. And granted, we haven't played some great talent, but it's worked. I mean, it's creating turnovers. They're doing it in a way that has got to be just absolutely frustrating to the other team. And that's what teams used to do to our team. You know, I remember a couple of years ago, we never could get the ball in on time, you know.
Well, and I think the other thing that you left out that you're going to see with this team is you're going to see them running a system on offense.
Always.
They have a system. I was so impressed the other day, something I didn't see under, you know, Buzz Peterson, Wade Houston, all those guys.
Did you see anything under Wade Houston? Not much.
Okay. I think it was one of the last games. I can't remember which game it was, but we had called a timeout or whatever, and the other team jumped from a man-to-man into a zone. Immediately, they ran their zone play, you know, reverse ball rotation, high screen, wide open three-pointer for C.J. Watson. Run to perfection. You know, they knew what to do. They run a system. They run their cuts. They've, you know, got a plan. It's not a bunch of one-on-one isolation plays with people trying to get shots off. It's an offensive system.
And they're doing the same thing every time. So there you go, Jason. We appreciate you calling in, and let's go ahead with the next voicemail.
All right. We've got another unidentified young caller here that's got some thoughts on the upcoming Texas game.
All right.
Hey guys, I've listened to the show a little bit. I like the show. It needs a little bit more thinking to it because you guys are just on there talking about what you think's gonna happen and you need to know what's gonna happen. That's my word. Okay, about the basketball team. Bruce Pearl comes here. We're undefeated. Got a pretty good program going on here. We're going to whoop Texas. We're just going to get their bottoms red. Red, I tell ya. My prediction on the game is going to be, let's see, Tennessee 76, Texas 54. That's my prediction. Kind of sucks. It's away. I'll let you guys go.
76-54.
Yeah, you got to like the young caller calling in and ripping us. No. You know, the show needs some tweaking because you guys just get on there and talk about what's going to happen, and you don't even know what's going
to
happen.
Yeah, we need to do a little bit more knowing, a little less thinking.
But if somebody coming out saying, we're going to whip Texas's bottoms red or something. I don't know what his exact quote there was.
Obviously not hitting our target market of the 26-54 demographic.
Hey, that just goes to show you, we get all kinds.
All right, what's coming up next?
Coming up next, I don't have these labels, so I don't know. I believe this is Georgia Vol.
All righty.
Larkin and Jay Hizzy is a Georgia Vol. Love your show. I'm a first-time caller, long-time listener. I just want to let you guys know you're doing a great job, especially for a guy down here living in hell now that Georgia has won the SEC. You kind of messed me up, though, because you usually do the show on Monday nights, and I was going to use the opportunity to let everybody know about my Save Tukey rally, but now he's dead, so his blood's on your hands. Anyway, a quick shout-out to my mod peeps, Sultress of the Spellcheck Lady in Orange, the Opera Man Orange White Blood, Volman Jr., the mod in tights, and, of course, the creator, Vol Freak, who proves every day that if you build it, eventually you'll find people dumb enough to work for you for free, which that was supposed to be self-deprecating with Larkin and Jay Hizzy. That now includes you. Anyhow, football season's over, but at least now I can get on with something more rewarding like being an Atlanta Hawks fan. And just a few things here. War JMX figuring out what sheep is so he has to find him and have a good time. Or Bruce Pearl banking enough wins in December that we'll remember his name in March. And all the posters out there, keep up the good work, keep on posting, and try not to suck. And if you're going to suck, at least be funny doing that. And with that, I am out. I'll hang up and listen for your comments.
Good call. I like it.
Yeah, definitely good call.
I like it.
Well, you got to hate having to revert to being an Atlanta Hawks fan.
Taking a shot at JMX and his sheep comments, too.
Yeah, that's right. Well, you know, I mean, he turned into the ultimate UT sheep after the Murray State game. But that's okay. That's a good call. In fact, that is the type of call we're looking for. We're looking for the voicemail that gives, you know, gives your opinions. We don't care if it's a little smack. We don't really care, you know, what you're going to say. But you know, make it strong. Bring it to us. That's kind of fired up call we need.
It was. Georgia Vols got his game face on tonight. So.
That's right. Kind of like Hizzy early at the beginning of the show.
Absolutely. So good call, Georgia Vols. I hope you'll call back next week for the show again. Next, we have, I believe this is JMX.
Okay.
Hey, guys. This is K-Town 98. And I read the post about funniest or strangest or whatever tailgating stories. Well, this is one that you're probably not going to believe. Alabama game. We're in Knoxville. We're in the parking lot right across the street from Neyland. And we're throwing the football around. And my friend, we're daring each other to do stupid stuff. Well, I dared one of my friends to piss inside one of the Alabama truck things that the guy had sitting out, and flags were all in the back. And
too many pee
he
stories.
He stood up and dropped his drawers and pissed all over the place. That had been the funniest thing I've ever seen in my life. Well, anyway, I think you guys are doing a pretty good job, so listen to your show, and I see that you guys got moved to Tuesday. So now I have to wait till Tuesday now. So see you guys.
Somebody wants to know what it says. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Thanks for the call, man. We threw a little curveball there, moving the show on Tuesday. A lot of confusion going on. People want to know if we quit the show. But good call. Appreciate you calling in. And now we have, I believe, a call from JMX.
Hey, what's up, guys? This is JMX representing beautiful North Knoxville in beautiful K-Town. Just want to tell all you sheep out there, I love you. And I want to give a shout-out to Milo. I want more pics of your beautiful Oregon girls out there, Milo. And one last thing, I want to do my sheep impression. Y'all ready? Here we go. If they fire Buzz, who are they going to get over there, guys? I mean, if they fire Buzz, nobody's going to come over there and coach for $1.2 million. Y'all keep it real.
You know, he's got a good point.
I tell you what, man, he has hit it right on. That I remember listening to sports radio all of last, you know, before Pearl was hired. Who's going to be better than him? And I tell you what,
we know now.
We know. Not only do we know now, I think we found the right guy. You know, I hope not to be proven wrong. But I bet you there's 10 to 15 coaches that we could have gotten at lesser schools that would have been a lot better than Buzz.
Oh, I'm sure.
That was a good call, JMX. Yeah, that was a good call.
I was a little nervous there about the sheep invitation. I didn't know quite what to expect.
That's right. Kind of holding our breath.
Yeah. All right. Last call. This was earlier in the week from a Vol fan in Arkansas.
Hey, guys. TJ Depp. And I'm just calling because I was reading the paper. Today's Tuesday, and I listen to your show every week. And I live in Arkansas. I was born in Knoxville. And me and JMX are really good friends. And I was just calling to ask, David Cutcliffe apparently went down here and talked to Mitch Mustang. Highly touted recruit quarterback. And I just wanted to comment about the thing about Randy. And what was wrong with Ainge? Why couldn't he, you know, coach Ainge? I mean, was Ainge above his level since when Randy did get in, he threw four passes, two incomplete, one pick, return, and then so just I think you guys are doing a really good job, and I'll be posting in, so peace out, guys. Go Balls.
I appreciate it.
TJ Dapp, thanks for the call,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, thanks, TJ.
Yeah, I mean, you know, we talked about the Mustang thing earlier, so I won't get back into that, but, you know, the Ainge thing, you know, we've beat that horse to death, too. It's you know, I don't think you can blame the whole thing on Sanders. I think, you know, obviously for whatever reason, Ainge had confidence problems, and I'm sure Sanders didn't help the problem or didn't seem to, and obviously he's gone now. So who really knows what exactly happened with the whole offense?
That's what I got to say about that.
I know. We don't want to drag up that whole topic again.
Well, listen, we're going to take a little bit of a break. Obviously, to you guys, it's not that big of a break, but we're going to take a break. We're going to wrap up the show today with a little bit of basketball. We'll talk, recap a little bit of the Appalachian State game. Then we're going to look at Texas ahead, and then we're done, people.
All right. We'll be right back. Get involved.
Larkin and Jay Hizzy.
All you guys keep calling in, too. We appreciate it. It makes the show more fun.
Listen,
for us.
You call in, I guarantee we'll put you on. Little Beastie Boys coming at you. Little open source music for you. Listening pleasure. Larkin and Jay Hizzy back. Get involved. We're going to wrap up the show, Izzy, with a little basketball. And
more hoops. Seems like we've talked about a lot of basketball tonight, but it is basketball season, I guess.
Yeah, you know, the thing is, you know, I realize that the Appalachian State game is a little while ago. But
a week ago.
You know, it's good to talk about them because, I mean, wins were few and far between last year. So, you know, obviously we want to talk about them when we can. You know, we got down. You know, those guys shot the ball lights out. In fact, you know, it took a rally. And, in fact, at the end of the half, they went on a 17-4 run at the end of the first half, which was really nice. And C.J. Watson, we talked about him getting a high of 23 points. Chris Lofton, 15. So, you know, in fact, you know, a lot of guys contributed. In fact, we were talking about it right after the game. Screech comes in and has a pretty good game. Scraps on the floor, gets a couple of you know, good turnovers.
Ends up, he had a steal, a three-pointer, and took a charge right there in a row.
Yeah, in fact, it was pretty interesting. I don't know if anybody got to watch that game on TV, but did you see the Appalachian State coach with the piano tie? Did you guys, if you caught it on TV, it looked like right out of Zoolander. The guy had the piano tie on, but the other thing was that there was when was the last time you saw a 5-point play on for a basketball team? The Pearl ends up getting called for a technical on a 3-point shot, and I think it was a bad call by the ref. I don't know, maybe he said something to the ref. I think he got called for it because he was telling Sunu to get back and guard the guy that made the 3-point shot. They ended up hitting it and getting two free throws. So that was a 5-point play. But overall, good win, you know, against not a very good team, obviously. But you had a lot of guys play some minutes. Childress got you know, a few minutes in there. Andre Patterson, you know, there's a lot of guys playing a lot of minutes, and that's what they need against these lesser opponents. Total points, he had several guys in double figures again. Asumnu with 12. You know, the thing I really like about Asumnu is his limiting of turnovers. Last year, I mean, he could dribble it off his foot better than anybody in the nation, but this year he's really limited his turnovers, and I really appreciate, you know, how well he's worked hard. Sometimes he gets a little overconfident, but overall I think he's really turning into, of course, Hizzy and I really are high on him right now.
Well, and foul shooting obviously has been a big thing with him, and he seemed to improve in the last game at that.
Yes. We were 12 of 19 overall as a team. So, you know, just wanted to, you know, give a little props to the basketball team for a good win. Of course, we got coming up, huge game, Texas.
The Longhorns.
The Longhorns of Texas. Of course, they got their butts kicked by Duke the other night. You know, they dropped to number 6, but by all rights, I think they're still one of the top flight teams. They're big. Guys have, you know, they've got a lot of big players. In fact, they have a 7-footer. One of their weaknesses, though, I think, where Tennessee has strength is their guard play.
Yeah, we had an Arkansas fan on the board actually talk a little bit about the, you know, their weak guard play. And, you know, if we are able to put a lot of pressure on those guys, it might cause trouble. So it's going to be interesting, number one, because we're going to see how we play against top competition. And number two, it's really going to be a game of two different teams. You know, a team that has good guard play versus a team that's good inside. So it's going to be interesting to see how that turns out and how well Pearl has these guys prepared.
Bruce Pearl, in an interview a couple of days ago, said that, you know, what did he think the effect of that loss was going to be on what's coming up? And he pointed out that, yeah, they lost by 20, but they still shot better than 50%. And Duke is a pretty good defensive team. I mean, you know, Krzyzewski, you know, he prides, you know, himself on getting those guys prepared and playing. So if you shoot 50% against any team, you know, especially against a good defensive team like Duke, you're gonna do pretty well.
It will be interesting, that's for sure. It's you know, we'll know a lot more about this team after these next two games.
Yeah, kind of weird how our schedule kind of floated around here. You know, we had a game last Tuesday, and it really, I mean, over a week and a half before you had mm-hmm. your next game. And, you know, what he, you know, Pearl also commented and saying, you know, I think we have to kind of look at the positive side of getting a little bit of rest before they go on the road. They got a couple of really tough games. And
well, we've only played five games. What, Duke's 9-0.
Yeah, I mean, they played a lot of games. In fact, there's a lot of teams out there that played, you know, 8 and 9 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know, playing time to guys like Justin Howe and Ryan Childress, Pearl says he thinks it gets them prepared for the long stretch in the SEC. And not only do you have that long stretch in the SEC, but you've also got you know, Memphis thrown in there in the mix. We play a lot of really good teams over the next month.
Yeah, the Memphis game's another tough one. That's going to be a tough challenge for us. They're playing really well this year.
Well, you know, obviously we'll see how that pans out. It's going to be a national game on Saturday. I think you know, Tennessee will be fired up to play. What do you think the score will end up being? I think what's going to happen is that we may play pretty well from the guard play, but you know, Wingate's going to have to step up. He's going to have to get some rebounds. You've got several guys above 7 rebounds for Texas. You've got Tucker, Buckman, and Aldridge. All three of those guys are better than 7. In fact, Aldridge is almost 10 rebounds a game. You're really going to have to try to, in fact, tire those big guys out. But they also have a lot of guys playing a lot of minutes. In fact, they've got almost 9 guys that are playing, averaging over 10 minutes. So I think Pearl is really going to have a coaching challenge ahead of him to substitute very smartly. And if smartly is even a word.
Is that a school word, smartly?
You know, and but they're going to have to be wise on how they get guys in and out. I think they're going to be able to use Juwan Smith pretty well. You know, they've got a couple of quick guys. And so, you know, we'll see how it goes. And personally, I think we're going to lose by 15-plus. I just don't think we can hang at this point.
My projection is basically Texas by 14.
Yeah, okay, Texas by 14. I think it's going to be a 15-plus game. But you know what? I'm not expecting a win, but I do expect them to play hard. I expect them to represent school well. And I think that's going to pay the dividends off of playing those tough games like a Texas and Oklahoma State, getting us ready for the SEC.
I think so. I think, you know, you don't want to say moral victories, but I think if you lose by single digits, it's probably a moral victory for this team at this point.
There are no moral victories, and wins, a win and a loss, you know, is such that I think if we can go 1-1, you know, obviously I think we're going to lose to Texas, but I think we got a good shot of beating Oklahoma State.
Well, I don't know about that, but anything can happen. That's why they play the game. So we will see what happens. And I mean, I'm excited to watch it.
Here I am being the sheep.
Now we've swapped roles tonight.
Yes, we have. You're being the realist. And
you know, I just think it's a lot for a young team, national stage, on the road, at Texas, ESPN, 230. It's just a lot to deal with for a young team. It's, you know, not
right,
very.
We went over the schedule, 16-13.
You're
we
not
beat
back into that again,
we
are
beat.
You?
Well, I'm just saying, we beat Oklahoma State. That's that swing game that I was telling you about. Could turn us into a 17-12 team. You know, every win is a good win for the basketball program at this point.
Absolutely, absolutely. A couple of things I wanted to bring up. You know, we were talking about Tebow earlier. I don't know if you mentioned or if I had mentioned or not. He did commit to Florida today.
Yes.
So I don't know if we actually mentioned that or not.
No, we did not. No, we did not. Well, guys.
Hey, what's up? One last thing. What's up with Dante Stallworth? And I've heard people talking this week about his you know, on Monday Night Football, announcing using his high school instead of saying University of Tennessee.
Well, that seems to be the hip thing to do now.
What's up with that?
I think people are looking a little bit too farther into it.
So you don't take that personally as a Tennessee fan?
No, I don't. And there's a lot of guys that do it. And, you know, and that's fine. I mean, you show allegiance to a college team. You know, that's what they show up on the screen. You know, if he wants to say his high school, I don't really mind. I think Stallworth is giving a lot of respect to the Tennessee fan. I don't think that's a shot at us at all, or at the school. So
he's still mad about Kelly Washington tricking him into going pro early.
Yeah, boy, I tell you, would have been nice. It would have been good to have him back in 2002, no doubt. But
yes, it would.
But guys, good show, Izzy.
Absolutely. Guys, I want to encourage all you guys to call in. We had a lot of fun tonight getting to the calls and got a lot of them on the air. You know, you guys who did call in, you know, you did a great job. Call back this week for the next show. You know, everybody else who's listening, be sure to call in now that you've had some people take the plunge first and seen what it's like. You know, call in. Leave a message. Give us your, you know, thoughts, views. I think the more that we can get, the more fun the show will be.
This is Get Involved with Larkin and Jay Hizzy. Thanks for joining us.
See you next week.
All right.